Yeah, it's pretty league-shattering, Luke, to be honest with you. I think someone that's been the epitome of an organization for so long, it just becomes a cornerstone. And I think most people with the quarterback position in the NFL don't have to think about it when Tom Brady is on your roster, and then all of a sudden your entire organization is turned upside down from this move. In terms of league-wide appeal, he's the greatest player to ever play. That doesn't necessarily mean he's the best to ever play it. I would say this. He probably wouldn't crack a top 10 list in that regard, but it doesn't matter. The fact is, he's gone on to win 6 Super Bowls. And to be honest with you, there's no one that tracks success just like he does. It's going to be a strange offseason. Obviously, with everything going on, players can't officially, technically sign contracts until they're in the organization's buildings or anything like that. And then you have things like OTAs, so organized training activities. Those can't happen now because of the self-isolation. The governor of New York has just come out and said he's going to sign a work from home bill too there. So in terms of movement, it's been a strange couple of days. The league actually officially opened on Wednesday with a free agency period, which for people who aren't too clued in on the NFL, it's the equivalent of the transfer window in the Premier League. But it's been the only source, I suppose, of sporting information we've had, and I don't know if there's been a bigger transfer story per se in the last 20 years of the NFL regardless, so there's been quite a time for it to happen.
Yeah, I was trying to quantify it in my head when I was looking at maybe soccer players, the likes of Messi with Barcelona, or even Brian Cody with Kilkenny, if he was to leave as manager and go on and manage another team. Obviously, it's hard to compare and contrast sports, but I was trying to do that in my head. In terms of the team that he's going to, I mean, he's not exactly riding off into the sunset going to LA or San Francisco or any of these, I suppose, more desirable locations. He's landing in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I think a lot of it, and maybe the context is important for listeners here, you can't just pay players whatever you want in the NFL. There is a salary cap installed, much like the MLS. So the teams that simply couldn't afford Tom Brady obviously couldn't sign him. And I think the offers only truly came from two teams. They were my own team that I support, actually, the Los Angeles Chargers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But as it turned out, Tom Brady, because his brand is probably worth more than his total monetary contract value at this stage, he had so many business requirements that he needed to take care of on the East Coast. So Tampa Bay was more suitable. That and the fact, obviously, with his wife and kids, they wanted to stay in the same time zone. So it came down to that. But funnily enough, you could argue that given the talent on the roster at the Buccaneers, the likes of Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and O.J. Howard, who is basically a replica of Rob Gronkowski, he could be coming into a very good situation. Now, the difficulty for him, of course, is that being in one particular scheme for 2 decades, the jump to a new scheme with limited on-field time you're going to have between now and the season starting is going to be problematic. But if there's one athlete and one mind in the sport who can manage it, it'll certainly be Tom Brady.
Has there been any utterings of the season possibly being binned? Obviously, the NBA were very fast to act. I think one of the first sporting organisations to react to the COVID-19 pandemic. But in terms of the NFL, has that been talked about, or are they kind of trying to stay quiet on it at the moment and hoping that it all goes away?
Yeah, it's funny. I suppose the big thing to point out is the NFL is exceptionally structured. Like I said, the window opened up for the official league season starting on Wednesday. They've got organized training activities. They've got mini camps. All these dates are set in stone. It's not particularly variable. The first preseason game, if you like, is always the Hall of Fame game. That happens normally in the first week of August. So we are a long way away from that yet. They probably don't need to pull the trigger or anything. It's not quite like the FAI saying that the League of Ireland could hopefully resume in June. Like, I think that's probably a bit far-fetched. But the NFL don't have to jump to those conclusions as of yet. So it's all looking on schedule as of right now. But you know, with this evolving situation and the pandemic, Luke, it's very much up in the air. But it would be the least under threat of all the major sports at the moment.
Yeah, it certainly will. And while I have you on the line, Andrew, I mean, talking about NFL, I've seen so many great documentaries, great programs from American sports. I mean, they seem to just do it right. They capture the imagination, the emotion within you. And these documentaries can sometimes, to people who wouldn't be too interested in the sports, be a lot more entertaining than the sports itself. I know a lot of people are at home, a lot of people are struggling for things to watch. They've probably gone through the whole of Netflix and those the variants, we'll say. In terms of any gems that you have from your own point of view, in terms of documentaries that people might be able to pick up and watch if they need to kill an hour here or there?
Yeah, so I suppose I have a couple of American sport-based documentaries and then a couple of films as well, maybe for some more lighthearted look at things. I think probably having a laugh at this point isn't the worst bit of advice you can give people. Moneyball is a film I think it won an Academy Award or was at least nominated for an Academy Award back when it was released about 20 years ago. Brad Pitt's in that. It's about the introduction of analytics into Major League Baseball. That sounds quite tedious, but it's actually very enjoyable. It's all informative. And I think your Boston Red Sox won a World Series off the back of this model, so it's obviously conducive to a good environment. There is Team Foxcatcher, which is a film which was made about John DuPont's murder of Dave Schultz. They were the Olympic wrestling team back in 1996, I think it was. It's quite heavy, but it's very informative. And of course, then there's the classic Friday Night Lights film, which is about the American football team. I'm sure you're aware of. Moving away from American sports, I suppose, Rush is a film about the 1976 Formula One rivalry between James Hunt and Niki Lauda. That's really it's really a decent watch. It's about 2 hours long. Looking locally, you've got Katie, which is about Katie Taylor. I'm sure most people have seen it now. And then there's Icarus, which is about the Russian doping scandal that happened a few years ago. This is all very Netflix-based, but for anyone that doesn't have Netflix, perhaps you want to look at something like Amazon Video. So there's a documentary called Forever Pure, which is actually about the fan base of Beitar Jerusalem and the racial struggle that went on there between themselves and the owner when they signed two Muslim players from Chechnya. That was back in 2015, I think. So you have a lot of bases covered, and I know people are starting to get sick of Netflix, and if you're down to the sports documentaries, you're probably at your lowest ebb already, but hopefully there's enough to keep people entertained for a few more weeks yet.